Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's Handy Link. You're listening to Handy Link on CJAM 99.1 FM, reaching high ground in Windsor, Detroit.
Hello and welcome to Handy Link, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. The first segment of our show, I'll be chatting with Joe Ritchie. So tell me a little bit about the accessible features that you're looking for in terms of the venue that you're going to be preaching at.
Sure. Well, first of all, I won't be preaching. I'll be actually leading in music and worship and a time of prayer. So that'll be the main focus of the evening. And the accessibility is pretty good. I know I've been there before because it's the building next to my old high school. And I used to be in that building every once in a while back in my high school days. No, that's going back. But I've also attended there while it's been a church. So I don't know how long it's been a church, but it's been for quite a while now, a number of years anyway. And yeah, the accessibility is really good. There's a side door that's plenty wide enough. You know, there's a little lift, but easy to get in with my wheelchair. And the bathrooms are accessible. The building itself, you know, to get around, it's all one level. So it's definitely an ease of access for anyone in a wheelchair.
So as a person with a disability, do you think there's anything that we can do on a local level to sort of augment the existing services?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's so much to do, actually. I think everywhere around us, they still have lots to do to bring that ease of access for people with disabilities. It's still not up to par on many levels. Now, that being said, I mean, I've seen great advancement in many other places. So it's nice to see, but there's still a long way to go.
So some people just tend to look at it as, I'll fill the legal requirement and that'll be that. But there's always the matters of upkeep and making sure you meet as many needs as possible.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. An example of that is I've been to many parking lots where the parking lot only fills their quota of how many handicap accessible parking spaces they need. Meanwhile, you know, it's a doctor's office and you think, shouldn't there be more than one? This is a doctor's office, so I've seen that. And even doors on the handicap stalls, putting them on backwards, so the door opens into the toilet. When there's no room for the wheelchair to get inside, it's not that hard to flip the door around, and it's important for us in wheelchairs.
So, if you could send any message to the community about the need for ease of access, what would you say?
I would say give it a lot of consideration, a lot of thought as the people that, you know, you're serving in your community or whatever the venue is, or if it's a store or a shop or something, because, you know, we want to shop and be a part of the community and be at the venues and events that are happening. And our wheelchairs or our disabilities don't limit us. We definitely want to get out. But sometimes what limits us is that ease of access, that accessibility. And if there's a door that has a step, guess what? You know, the guy in the wheelchair can't get in. If the door's not wide enough, well, the person in that large electric chair can't get in. Bathrooms are a major issue. Sure, maybe the building has a door that's wide enough and no lift. But if there's no bathroom that's accessible, well, what happens if I have to go? You know, that poses a problem. It's something that the community needs to think about and consider. There are apparently ways to get around that as far as looking for income sources to help. I don't really know all the ins and outs of it. Yeah, I think you'd have to research that from the government level. I would suggest, you know, really giving a lot of consideration for those people who want to actually, you know, spend money or be part of the venues and events that are in the community.
So, to change gears a little bit, how is it you think that venues like the upcoming one can impact a person with a disability? If the spirit, for example, feels free, what impact do you think that has on the body and the overall condition of a person with a disability?
Well, from experience, I would say an enormous impact on the person's well-being, their spirituality, their emotional health, even their physical health, their mental health too. And I say that from experience because I'm a long-time quadriplegic who was injured in a motor vehicle accident way back in 1990, and I didn't find faith in God through Jesus Christ until I was, 22, which was 1996. But even then, I didn't know what it was and couldn't figure it out until around 1998. So that impact in my life, though, was enormous, and it really, really changed who I am on the inside. And who I am on the inside is so much more important than the physical stuff, right? And that impact has allowed me to, you know, have a better heart, have a better way of thinking about life, and the abilities to cope with things is way beyond anything I can ever imagine now. Basically, I just put my faith and trust in God, and that, now, not just a God, I'm talking about the God through Jesus Christ. So that has definitely has changed me in an enormous way, and has impacted my life, but not just my life, because now when I'm communicating and having a relationship with people, that impact spreads, and it's like an overflow of my life, an overflow, you know, of my spirituality, an overflow of the spirit that connects to other people, and they see it, they notice, and they take that and walk with it too, and are able to be affected themselves. So yeah, it is an enormous impact. So this event tonight, I'm leading in music, singing worship and praise to God, and that in itself is such an ability to connect with Him spiritually and with others as well. But it's really about that connection with Him, and that level of uplifting that it does for people, and especially for me, and someone who is, you know, handicapped. I do struggle with those things. It really changes my perspective. It really changes my outlook and my desire for life, and it grows, and it makes it so much better.
So, aside from your own story, have you seen any other examples of faith healing that stand out for you?
Yeah, absolutely. As a matter of fact, I'm sitting at my kitchen table at home right now with a friend of mine, and he could attest to the same things in his life. He is also a quadriplegic, and he's had healings in his life, and not just inside, but physical too. And seeing God on a level that, you know, is beyond anything he could ever imagine. So I've seen the impact, and not just in, you know, able-bodied community people, but in also in disability challenged people. So it's definitely out there, and God is available and ready to spread His arms wide open for anyone, including those with disabilities.
Cam,
thanks a lot for the interview.
My pleasure. Thank you for taking the time out to do this. And
yeah, and if anyone wants to come out tonight, the venue is in Bell River, North Shore Community Church at 7 o'clock, and it's the building right next to the high school. We'd be more than welcome to have you.
Thank you very much. Folks, I'd just like to remind you this is a pre-recorded interview, and some of the events alluded to may already have passed. Joe's story has always been a remarkable one to me, folks. Finding your faith, finding something that centers you when dealing with a disability is key, because where the spirit feels free, the body will follow. Where the mind believes it can, the body will. But it all begins with the understanding and the knowledge that your life is not over. Changed, possibly. Permanently, who knows? But Is it hopeless? Is it beyond repair? No, it is not. The fact of the matter is, people with disabilities can accomplish anything they set their minds and hearts to. Disability life is all about adaptation. It's about seeing the new normal, seeing in a new way. The fact is, Joe has found one of the most remarkable outlets to do so. And sharing his story and his courage with the community, that speaks volumes. For the fact is, a person's character is tested by their disability, depending on the severity. Each one has the choice: rise to the occasion, be that hope for someone, learn to adapt to the new circumstances, or hide away, run away, accept the myths and the prejudices out there that say there is no hope for this person. That is among the greatest lies you will ever hope to hear, folks. Truth is, things are only impossible until they're not. Years ago, wheelchairs were essentially cumbersome pieces of furniture. Couldn't go very fast, couldn't go very far. Until someone decided, we can do better than this. These are people with hopes and dreams and potentials, and we owe it to them to create something practical, something accessible, something that I myself would be able to use if the circumstances called for it. For disability doesn't necessarily start at birth, and acquired disabilities do need both the mind, the spirit, and the body to all work as one to accept that there is strength, that there is hope, that it is not the end. But when all understand that they have still a life before them, they can thrive and create. HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
The Windsor Youth Center is the only drop-in community center for homeless and at-risk youth in Windsor, Essex. WIC provides helpful and experienced staff members and offers several important services such as meals, snacks, opportunities to explore creative expression, resume help, and a safe space for youth to come together. The Windsor Youth Center is open Monday to Saturday from 5 to 10 p.m. and is located at 1247 Wyandotte Street East. Get help or lend a hand right here in your community at the Windsor Youth Center.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard a bit about the practice of faith healing from our good friend Joe Ritchie. In this segment of our show, we'll hear from Nicole Danielle, who will be giving us an update on her yoga program. So, you were telling me that you have a big announcement concerning your yoga program.
Well, I'm very pleased to have been invited once again to the John McGivney Center, where the classes are more or less open to clients of John McGivney, and that class will be starting up in early May and will run through to June 19th. It's a 6-week program. So the class is just forming. Those who are interested in, you know, perhaps getting their son or daughter into the program, I have some students who are adults who practice with me. They might be attending that program as well. Students of all different abilities, ages, assistance is required, someone to be assisting alongside, a sibling, a parent, a caregiver, a friend. The idea is to build consistency in their yoga practice. So when we've got, you know, that parent and brother and sister alongside, you know, they develop things that you can do every day and continue to build from the benefits of the yoga practice that we do. And it'll be an hour long on Mondays, 4:30 till 5:30. And that starts May 8th and it runs through June 19th. And we are taking the long weekend off. So I'm just very pleased to be able to do that. So again, it's for, clients who are familiar with John McGivney. You can call and inquire about enrollment. And, if that's something that your listeners would like to be aware of, that's wonderful. It's also back on full and strong with my Saturday morning class. We've been on a bit of a hiatus. So that's the group that attends at the Jackson Park Health Center at 11:15 on Saturday mornings. So if people are interested in that, they can, of course, contact me. And my website is cocoyoga.ca. So that's all going on. And the Harmony in Action classes have been continuous as well. And there's just new students attending all the time. I'm getting lots of direct calls from parents who are following up and starting to take, now they're enrolled two classes a week. And it's just really lovely to see that kind of parental involvement. That's been my hope all along, is that it would build in some kind of consistent way where it's not just with me once a week at yoga, that it's something that, the practice of it, it's changing patterns, it's building stronger muscles, and it's great to have that daily practice, and it feels so good. And we're having a lot of fun at all the classes. They're so joyful, and we have a lot of fun. And I look forward to them, and I know the students look forward to them. And more and more inquiries are so welcome. I'd love to speak with anybody who has questions, and all that contact information is on that website. So that is absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much for letting me share about all that.
Of course. And wondering, how do you go about forging partnerships with groups like Harmony in Action and McGivney? What makes your yoga program something they'd want to be a part of?
Well, I think just for the tremendous benefits that now, 5 years in, it's been 5 years, we're in our fifth year at Harmony in Action. I'm in my fifth year of working with these same women at Jackson Park Health Center. I do believe just, word of mouth, it's getting out there. People are seeing benefits. I've had parents, let me know they've seen clear weight loss results. Just so much benefits. And there's also a nice, strong community. There's a lot of ways where parents are accessing each other. There's a lot of different groups. The parents of my students at one of my classes, they've all known each other now for 5 years as they sit outside in the hall and get to know each other. And, they are interacting, taking the different children to different things, participating in each other's lives. It's community building, and the word gets out, and different, I've been invited to so many different places now, and just feel so blessed to have been welcomed in to the community. And I just think that the subtle benefits over 5 years start to get really clearly seen. Longer limbs, stronger core, stronger voice, less ear, eyes, nose, and throat problems, better sleep, more confidence. And that is now 5 years in for most of my students, although, as I said, new participants, for example, at Harmony in Action, I'm seeing new students often, and it's so lovely. So it's just wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
So in terms of creating community, That's beneficial, not only to these kids with disabilities, but also to the parents who might be struggling and saying, nobody understands what it's like and there's no support out there. You're sort of building a bridge there.
Well, I know they definitely enjoy each other's company out there. It's nice to know that they are, you know, in communication even outside of the yoga class with me. I've seen that build in some of the parental groups out there, and that's just lovely to see. And they also see each other at other communities like Up About Down and anything that Andrew Baynar is doing with his, you know, Rock On campaign. And there's just a ton of wonderful things. Best Buddies just happened. Where the community, everybody starts to see each other more and more. And I think it's just wonderful. There's just a lot, it seems there's a lot of accessibility in terms of, you know, and Facebook groups and everything like that. It just seems everybody's linked and coordinated, you know, quite easily these days. Do you feel that? Your show does a lot for that.
I have felt that, yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's really lovely to see. Thanks so much for letting me share that on your show, Cam.
My pleasure. Thank you for taking the time out to do this.
Always a pleasure, Cam. Thank you so much.
Of course. One point I alluded to and feel very strongly about during Nicole's interview is the idea of bringing families, people affected with disabilities, together. Fact of the matter is, when a parent or a caregiver or even a sibling or a friend feels that they have to face this situation all on their own, that there's no one there to help them, they feel isolated and alone. And that can create its own disability, the illusion of hopelessness and helplessness. By spending time with parents, with families, sharing common threads. You can talk about what works, what doesn't, and create something better. Shared insight, shared experience, maybe even shared contact information for those in the support field. Working together, you can provide a meaningful growth opportunity for those affected with a disability. One of the biggest benefits of what Nicole is doing surrounds pain relief. A person with a disability who's lived all their life in pain then finds something like the practice of accessible yoga for the first time, knowing life without it. It can be a game changer, folks. Truly, they have every right to this, to know that the world isn't just being poked and prodded or feeling pain, that it can be a wonderful place filled with opportunities, chance to explore your talents and your passions, to find out what a person is really capable of, given the right opportunities, the right tools, the right support, and yes, above all, the right encouragement. Folks, I thought I'd end today on a high note. We have here an author who's going to share the story of group of actors who did something very special for a kid with a disability.
Hi, my name is David Wagner, and I am the author of Kingdom on the Medallion, The Chronicles of Bartholomew. The book's been out for about a year and a half now. It's got a 5-star Amazon rating in 3 countries. However, because my wife and I, besides being an author, are into steampunk, and we're also involved in the city in the Comic-Con that comes to Windsor. If you recall back about a year or so ago, the Comic-Con decided to donate money to the Windsor Regional Hospital to the Children's Center. So to promote it, they brought in Poison Ivy, who was riding in the Batmobile with Batman. They also brought in the Hulk, and they brought all the kids down from the ward, and they put them on the front lawn. These are kids with cancer. These are kids with disabilities. These are kids who are spending all their time in the hospital. So, you know, like anything else, we were there in our full steampunk costume, and we were having lots of fun with the kids. Of course, when the kids look at our steampunk costumes, they don't know really what we are. They see all this regalia. If you look it up on the internet, you'll see all kinds of stuff with steampunk. They just think of us as being time travelers. And I said, well, that's close enough. As long as the kids are having fun. So while we were there, and everybody, all the staff and all the kids are trying to get a picture op with you know, the Batman and the Hulk and everybody else, I look over as this group is trying to, you know, get that picture next to them. I look over on the sidelines, and there is a kid in a wheelchair. Okay, he is not being included. And I said, well, that is not going to happen, because what is this all about? It's about the kids, and especially kids with disability. So I went over to the parents. I said, can I borrow your son for a minute? And they said, sure. And I wheeled him right into the front of the crowd, right in front of all the cameras, got Batman, got the Hulk, got Poison Ivy all to gather around him. And my wife and I were out at the sides and kind of next to him. And then, you know, the parents were running around like crazy with tears running down their eyes, taking pictures like crazy. And afterwards, they came to us. They said, out of all the things we've ever been to, our disabled son who's in a wheelchair, who can't walk, this is the first time that he's been included in something like this. And they were crying, I was crying, I'm almost emotional talking about it. And they said, this is the first time somebody cared enough about our kid to include him even with his disability. And I said, well, that's what it's about. It's not about, you know, making money. It's not about having a photo op with a famous person. It's about that one kid who really wants to be next to Batman.
So how did the child respond to himself?
Oh, he was grinning from ear to ear. He was getting hugs from Batman. You know, Batman was there with, "Oi, how are you doing?" type voice, you know. And Poison Ivy was there. And this kid was like living the comic book fantasy while he was in his wheelchair. It was absolutely amazing. And when his parents were wheeling him away, he was turning to his parents and saying, "Mommy, Daddy, I got to be Batman," right? And as they're loading him in the van, the parents again were saying to me, "You will never know what you have done for our child by including him in this photo op, including him in meeting his heroes."
So, do you think this sets a precedent for greater inclusion now that it's been done once? Do you think?
Oh, yeah. I think myself, I've had operations on my knees, and I know how hard it's been for me in the last year. I have to sometimes use a cane to get around, and it's not always easy, and it's not always fun when you can't walk and you can't get around. And there needs to be more inclusion of those who have disabilities to get them involved in ordinary things that most people take for granted, like mobility, getting into a washroom, getting in and out of a van, you know, doing those things which are, you know, everybody just takes for granted. But we need to include them, because in behind it all, they are still human beings. Remember that commercial on TV that says, for Alzheimer's, it says, "I'm still here"?
Yes.
Okay. For the disabled people out there, they are still there, and they still have dreams and goals and wishes. They like to read. I guess that's why my book is popular too, because it's fantasy fiction. It takes them into a world where the impossible is possible. Time travel, medieval knights, love stories, all that stuff, right? And it's because that's what makes for real fantasy.
Like to thank you for taking the time out to do this.
No problem at all.
What a remarkable gift to these kids. Just to be acknowledged and recognized as strong, capable people, and having the opportunity to connect with a famous person, setting a precedent so inclusion is not an afterthought. That really is a very, very touching story. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you we're all equal. So get on out there and have yourselves a good one. You've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.